This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, May 9th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning to start a new week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hope you had a blessed Mother's Day and you got to spend some time with your own mother and your family. You had a chance to tell your mom that you love her. Remember that every single day is a gift, and our moms are definitely the biggest gift that we can have. I want to first of all say thank you, thank you, thank you to our Relevant Radio family. It was another amazing Give Hope Spring Pledge Drive, unbelievable support. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. Would you believe it? We made our goal of $3 million, and we did it in dramatic fashion on Friday, I'm sure, with the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary. Here's the happy totals, $3,058,000 plus from nearly 15,000 donations from our Relevant Radio family. You talk about hope. Lots of hope was given. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn. We are so grateful. I know my heart is so grateful for just another amazing, historic pledge drive.
Well, what a wonderful week it was. Thanks to the world's greatest audience. Thanks you. Thank you so much for giving to Relevant Radio. We reached our goal of $3 million into Friday evening a little bit. And if you missed an opportunity to give, you can still do that, of course, online at relevantradio.com or at 877-291-0123. But the pledge drive is over. And thank you so much for helping us meet that $3 million goal. That'll help Relevant Radio keep going strong for three more months, carrying on the good work of Relevant Radio, continuing to build that platform for Christ and His church, John.
And Glenn, I know that our Relevant Radio network audience is fantastic, as you call it, the world's greatest audience. But I just want to give a shout out to our Morning Air audience as well. Our Morning Air family was tremendous also on Friday. We had 600 plus donations. $107,000 was raised during our time slot on Friday, Glenn. And every single one of these listeners in the morning, the ones who get up every morning to listen to us, we're so grateful. Thank you so much, Morning Air family, part of the Relevant Radio family. Again, if you missed last week's pledge drive, for whatever reason, you're out of the country, on vacation, out of town, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by calling us at the number 877-291-0123 and also online at relevantradio.com, or you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Again, great, great pledge drive. Glenn, a couple of quick highlights of what's making headlines this morning.
Well, certainly in the world of issues with life and Roe v. Wade, the Senate looking to vote. Democrats will try to have a vote Wednesday in the Senate to confirm Roe v. Wade into federal law. That looks to fall short of the necessary votes needed. Protests over the weekend in and outside of churches in Los Angeles and New York, and a pro-life help center in Madison, Wisconsin, set on fire with an attack on late Saturday night. So anti-life forces around the country definitely making themselves known, John.
Absolutely. It's definitely a spiritual battle, as we've talked about it so many times, and we need to just continue to pray to protect the unborn, to protect life, and especially now with these attacks. And we're probably going to be seeing even more of them in the upcoming weeks as we get ready to hear officially from the Supreme Court. Glenn, as always, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing, John.
On Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones. They need our help. They need our prayers. We begin every program and every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Imagine all the saints, the heroes of our faith, crowded into a spiritual stadium, looking down from heaven on the faithful running the race of our faith, cheering us on to that ultimate victory of heaven. The communion of saints in heaven are praying for us and interceding for us because we are only one body in Christ. At the end of the race, at the finish line stands our blessed Lord Jesus, waiting with open arms to reward us in paradise. Keep running the race of life with perseverance, with our eyes fixed on our leader, Christ Jesus the Lord. And we always pray with great confidence, that prayer from the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Jesus, I trust in you. I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of the conversation, we're going to talk about financial issues through a Catholic and a spiritual perspective. Our number, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, market downdrafts are never pleasant. While it's nearly impossible to avoid them, past experiences show they don't have to derail your journey towards your financial goals. For example, last Wednesday, the Dow tumbled 1,000 points for the worst day since 2020, while the Nasdaq dropped 5%, which makes the faith and heroic giving of our Relevant Radio family listeners really impressive. Joining us now is our financial expert and longtime Morning Air contributor, Bill Ulivieri, to talk about the paradox of retirement investing. Bill is the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again on another Monday morning to start the week.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Glenn.
Bill,
yep, we've got another crazy...
Go right ahead.
No, we have another crazy week ahead of us in the market. So, you know, you talked about the market being down 1,000 points. And again, you got to have perspective. You have to look at these things with a 35,000 foot view. So since my last interview on the 25th of April, gold is down 1%. Bonds are down 2%. The S&P 500 is down 4%. And the NASDAQ technology heavy, the symbol is QQQ, three Qs, that's down 6.1%. So in the last 2 weeks, everything across the board has been down. And we are, again, at a very, very interesting place because the market actually has been down, you know, year to date. The S&P is down 13.5%. The bond market is down 11%. And here's the great paradox is that the bond market is down almost as much as the stock market. And so portfolios across the world are looking at their balances month to month or 2 weeks to 2 weeks. And they're saying, wow, why is my account down 20%, 22%, 25%, even more, 30% or more? And I just want to remind people, and I do it all the time when the market goes down, is that this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where we earn our right to retire. Your financial goals are met as a reality in a bear market by braving these downturns and potentially adding, you know, that cash that you've had sitting aside, the cash that you were so afraid was going to erode from inflation. Maybe you bought gold with it. Maybe you bought silver with it. And, you know, silver's down maybe 2%, I think 2.5-3% from 2011. I mean, that has done nothing with the market up maybe 250%. So We got to remember that gold really isn't that much of an inflation hedge, and we make our financial goals right now when it's hard. It's easy when the economy seems to have the wind at its back and it's pushing things along. But also we have to remember, like during COVID, during the COVID-19 issue, in February 20th of 2020, the market fell about 35% almost in a month. I mean, it happened so fast, so hard. It caught everybody by surprise. And then it turned around and made a new high maybe 5, 6, 7 months later on August 24th, 2020. So again, these market breaks are hard. They're severe. They make all the headlines. It freaks everybody out. But then we turn around and continue to make a new high a short time later.
Bill, in the most simplistic form, can you explain, as long as you don't take money out of the markets, you really haven't technically lost anything. It's still all there if you're patient and you wait for it to come back.
Yes, I know it's almost cliche to say, well, you didn't actually lose money if you don't sell. But it's true. Any investor that has ever held on or even increased their monthly contributions going from the 1987 crash through the 89 mini crash, the first and second Gulf War, 9/11, internet.com bubble burst, the Great Recession in 09, and, you know, COVID-19. I mean, every single time we thought it was the end, game over, never coming back, market can never recover. And then within a year, we're making new highs. And that is this paradox. There's always this difference between volatility and risk. And risk is like that fear or the potential of you never getting your return back. You know, risky is betting on the 80-to-1 shot at the Kentucky Derby. You know, risk is investing in, you know, something that is a new startup, you know, where they don't have any kind of footprint. But volatility in the market is not the same. Volatility is just the standard, very ecclesiastical. There's a time to buy, a time to sell, a time for bonds, a time for stocks, a time for the market to do well, and a time for it to pull back. And I know that every single time it seems different this time. And I'll be honest with you, you read the news feeds and you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen with inflation? What's happening with Ukraine? We have all this debt we have to roll over. But again, there's this paradox as things are moving in the opposite direction as we would expect. You know, we have inflation relatively high compared to a few years ago, yet gold is down 2%. Everybody thought that when the Federal Reserve was going to turn under printing presses, the U.S. dollar was going to crash and go down into zero. And yet here we are at like 20-some year highs in the U.S. dollar. The dollar probably has never been stronger since, 2008. And so, again, we just have to remember that these things ebb and flow. They swing back and forth. And the market is just suffering one of those times where it will pull back. And again, we have to take a look and remember that the S&P 500 is a basket of stocks. There's 500 companies inside the S&P 500. They're well capitalized. They've got money. They have a great business model. And their dividends increase faster than the rate of inflation. So that's why Warren Buffett doesn't like gold. That's why he likes companies that pay dividends. And again, I've got people continually calling me, all the time. What do you think about gold? Is gold a good inflation hedge? And I don't think that it is. And my charts show that it isn't.
Why is there so much propaganda? So much of a push. You see commercials for investing in gold constantly on network television.
John, I think they're selling fear. I think it's clickbait. I mean, I really do. People don't remember that gold was down 44% from its high from 2011 down to 2013. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not telling anybody to sell their gold. I'm just saying that if you look at a chart of gold right now, it reminds me very much of the 2011 to 2013 time period. Because in 2008 and 2009, when we had the Great Recession and the Federal Reserve turned under printing press, gold had a phenomenal rally. But then once things stabilized, it fell 44% from its high to low. And I don't see how this time period right now is any different. We had this initial push in gold during COVID-19, maybe pre-COVID, and now every high seems to be a little bit lower in gold. And so I ask myself, if I have to own anything, if I have to own something that could potentially fall 40%, man, I would much rather own the S&P 500 than gold, because the S&P continues to pay dividends, and it expands higher and faster than the rate of inflation than gold does. And so, you know, I think it's fear. It's the fear of uncertainty, and people don't like to see their accounts going down. So it's probably better to hold an asset that doesn't go anywhere than watching your portfolio downtick one after another after another. But again, John, like if there's anything I've learned from when I started as a runner in 1980 at the Chicago Board of Trade, all we've done is go from one crisis to the next to the next. The world has like never known a period of like pure optimism and pure smooth sailing. It's always a feeling of uncertainty. But that's just the way it is. And this is what gives you the metal. This is the stuff. This is the fabric of what it takes to retire comfortably, you know, with a long-term perspective. Optimism really is the only true reality. And we have to understand that regardless of how crazy things are, how bad things look right now, this too will pass. And I don't know how, I just know that it will. And this is where faith comes in. This is where investing really is a faith-based endeavor. Investing is really an emotional endeavor. It's not about, I mean, honestly, I could give you like two investment symbols that you could use for the rest of your life. For 50 years, you could just do the S&P 500 or the Russell 2000. Like it almost doesn't matter that you don't need like the most perfect mutual fund. You just have to brave these times right now. And this is where investors make their retirement goals right now. And the market's going to open up down, right? That's like another paradox. It's going to open down and it's not going to look good probably for a few more weeks. But I feel looking at my analytics that the end is, I think we're almost over this. I don't think this is a 29 depression thing. I don't think that this is the collapse of Western civilization. I don't think that this is the Great Reset or other things that people are talking about. Are we having some issues? Absolutely. Are we going to work through them? No doubt in my mind. That's the difference between volatility and risk. I don't think the market is that risky, but it can be volatile, and we're experiencing that right now.
We're joined this morning by longtime Morning Air contributor Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Cenacle Capital Management, talking about the paradox of retirement investing. Bill, you've lived it. Going back to your runner days, you've seen it with your own eyes, all the different historical situations between the 1987 crash, the various wars, even 9/11. Can you give us a brief historical perspective that proves that time and time again, this too will pass?
Well, history is the proof, John. We can go back to the high inflation of the 70s under the Carter administration and Paul Volcker raising interest rates to 15, 16, 18, 20%. And the market got crushed. And right before that, in the late 70s, we had it was called the Nifty 50. It was a basket of 50 cutting edge high technology stocks, you know, like IBM and Allied Signal. And actually, most of those companies in the Nifty 50 aren't even around anymore. I mean, they've either got gobbled up in mergers or they went out of business. And I mean, I don't want to bore listeners with this. I want to sound like the grandfather at the Easter dinner that's just rehashing all the old stories. But we just have to take a look at the history of, you know, again, during the Carter administration when we had, very high inflation, and before that, Nixon and Ford, where we had stagflation, which was where I think that term was first coined. 87 crash, recession after recession, expansion after contraction, one after another, never thinking it was going to end, and then it turned around. And this is the hard part, John. This is the problem with these types of ebbs and flows, is that most people get out because of fear, and they never know when to get back in again because they don't believe that things are going to get better. They don't think that things could possibly market could possibly recover. And so I'm telling you that it will, and maybe it could take 5 months, maybe it can take a year, maybe it might be 2 years. But for the most part, the market recovers fairly quickly. And we just have to know that right around the corner, and it's just what I see, right around the corner, things will get better. And we're going to see the dollar decline in value and the markets turn around, stop in their tracks and begin rallying. And again, this is just where faith meets the market. And this is where faith meets political action of the Federal Reserve and central banks. And we're going to be just fine. Our portfolios will be fine if we stay faithful to the program. You cannot abandon your financial plan now. This is when you have to stick to it. Like the rosary, you need to, when things are hitting the road, when the poop is hitting the fan, you've got to stick to your prayer life, right? And that's when we are most inclined to abandon it. And so stick to your financial plan like you are in these times of volatility and trouble.
We live by faith, not by sight. A final word of encouragement, especially for folks who just filled up their car with gas and they're paying more than ever before. They're spending twice as much for food and for so many different things. How do we stay optimistic at this time?
Look back 2 years when gas was $1.29 a gallon, when crude oil was negative $40 a barrel, rather than now being like $130, $125 a barrel. This too shall pass. The cure for high prices is high prices. And we will find ways, and administrations will change, and we're going to turn the spigots, we're going to turn the printing presses on again with oil. In other words, what I mean by that is we're going to turn the pumps on, and something will happen to break this stranglehold, and we'll see gas back down into the low twos or mid twos. I'm certain of it. And so, again, this is only 2 years ago. We gas was cheaper than a cup of Starbucks, and now it's the other way around. So do not be afraid. We got this. Just hang in there.
Sounds good. Bill, how can our listeners contact you directly?
They can call us at 847-686-4800. That's 847-686-4800. I'd be happy to take a look at anyone's portfolio, run it through our financial roadmap software. If you have any questions about your mutual funds at work or whatever, just don't hesitate to give me a call and leave your contact information.
As always, thanks so much, Bill. Appreciate your insights. Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management, senecalcapital.com. We need to take a break when Morning Air continues. Catholic mom, author, and speaker Emily Jaminet will be with us to talk about the day after Mother's Day to discuss motherhood. Stay with us. We're just warming up this morning, and there's much more to come as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Mama said there'll be days like this, there'll be days like this, Mama said.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. Shout out to all the moms out there. I hope you had a super duper blessed Mother's Day yesterday. In fact, Mother's Day is an excellent opportunity to be celebrated as a mother. And yet, moms shouldn't have to wait virtually an entire year, 364 days, to hear nice words, to have a family day, or to get the gifts, the items that they need. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, we're talking about Mother's Day and everything that moms bring to our families. Now joining us is Emily Jaminet to talk about the day after Mother's Day. Emily is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, mother of seven children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Her most recent award-winning book is titled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life, and she can be found at EmilyJaminet.com. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you. I hope you had a fantastic Mother's Day.
Well, good morning to you. I'm sipping my coffee, and some Mondays we crash into Monday. We embrace the day after. And I think for many moms out there, they might know that feeling the day after Mother's Day. And I love to do spiritual resets, John. I love to say, okay, today is a new day. And like you mentioned, you know, we have a lot of lessons to learn, especially in this season of the gift of motherhood, the day after motherhood, and what can we learn? And first and foremost, I just love to reflect on the life of the Blessed Mother. She is the only perfect mom out there, and if you don't have a relationship with her, boy, oh boy, the day after Mother's Day is the day to begin.
Well, Emily, you've been a mom for a long time, I believe 23 plus years. What are some of the things that you've come to appreciate about yesterday's celebration, Mother's Day?
Well, yesterday's celebration was really beautiful. First, having realistic expectations. We had a pretty full schedule set for the day. But the one expectation that I'm really glad that we continue to do every week is, when are we going to Mass? And it's important that we go as a family. So we went to noon Mass and actually was at Mass. And my brother was the celebrant of the Mass. He is a local Catholic priest. So it was such a joy to look down the pew. I always say, I evaluate, you know, where we are in life, and I look down the pew and see that my little babies have grown up. My youngest is 6 and my oldest is 22. And I think about all those Mother's Days, all those celebrations. And John, it's not about us. It's about growing closer to Christ. And that's where we find our peace and joy.
Absolutely. In so many parishes across America yesterday, after Mass, the moms would stand up and the priest would give a special blessing to the moms. Did you get a special blessing after Mass?
I did. I got a special blessing by my brother, who extended to all the moms. He thanked all the moms. And he really reminded us the beautiful call to the vocation of motherhood, to welcoming, even as we remember yesterday was Vocation Sunday. And so he tied in that a holy, happy home is where vocations grow and are nourished. So I think, again, that reminder that our Catholic homes matter and they're spiritually under attack. So if you don't, you know, if you struggle sometimes, you know, we got to reset spiritually and stay in the game, right?
It had to be quite inspiring for you on Vocation Sunday, and it was also Good Shepherd Sunday to see your own brother as a Catholic priest walking in the footsteps of the Good Shepherd.
Well, it was, and a lot of times it's a destination church for us. It's about 20 minutes away, and I said, if he's not celebrating the Mass, I didn't know his schedule, you know, it's still important that we're there. And to see him, you know, coming down the aisle, and then to know that, you know, we grew up together, we're brother and sister amongst, you know, there's 4 of us in our family, and to know the importance of a holy, happy childhood. And a lot of times, you know, as we're looking back at motherhood, as we're reflecting on the day after Mother's Day, a lot of times we can get so wrapped up in materialism. We can get wrapped up in, what was the gift that I received? I didn't get enough honoring. I didn't get enough rest. And I think that this is the ultimate call, is to turn to Christ for our peace and joy, and not to look at the messaging of the world, but rather, you know, live out our vocation so that holiness can foster and grow in our house.
Well, Emily, drawing from your experiences as a mom, how can other moms who are listening allow Mother's Day to inspire them every day, not just on Mother's Day, but all year round?
Well, I think honoring the Blessed Mother, that's a great place to start. I love that Mother's Day is nestled in the month of May. And, you know, taking those baby steps, you know, what can we do? We can honor the Blessed Mother. So maybe, you know, move your flowers that you were given yesterday, if you were, under your Blessed Mother statue. You know, one of the things we love to do is do a May crowning, not just at the church, but in our own home. We create a little crown. We sing some songs, we honor the Blessed Mother, and we say oftentimes the rosary as well. So those simple ways of passing on the faith are significant for sure. And remembering that Mother's Day is just one day, our vocation and really doing, you know, sometimes Catholic Mother reset, it's an opportunity. Maybe it didn't go so well, and let's not experience that heartbreak, but let's rather use it as a learning opportunity for where the areas my family needs to grow.
Emily, and we're joined this morning by Emily Jaminet, a Catholic author, a speaker, and the mother of 7 children. So she knows from firsthand experience about being a mom. Emily, what are some of the qualities that we can learn, that moms especially can learn? Actually, dads can learn too from the Blessed Mother, but we're talking specifically about moms.
Well, I think that when we look to the Blessed Mother, I was actually just sharing with a mom on Saturday that taking time out to pray, to embrace our vocation, and to allow Mary to be our role model is, you know, not what the world is saying, but it's an opportunity for us to encounter Christ. And if, you know, even opening that Luke 1, you know, going back to my realizing that our soul is called to welcome Christ in, and for us, the month of May is that opportunity to have a spiritual reset. But one of the things, John, that I think is really important about Mother's Day is that moms, you know, don't wait a whole year to feel acknowledged, appreciated, and even get a break. If you're feeling exhausted, you know, it might be a great reminder that today's the day you schedule some time for a spiritual retreat. You schedule some time to, you know, take half a day to pray and, you know, spend some time with the Lord. But don't wait a whole year to get that break.
What about the virtue of humility as something that we really can learn from the Blessed Mother, and her humility who said yes to God?
Well, isn't it so interesting, because we're in this great spiritual battle. And yesterday at dinner, we had a family dinner with 16 of us, all family members ranging from 4 to my parents in their 70s. And we spoke about our love of God, and we acknowledged that right now in our culture, we're in a tremendous battle. You know, will we serve or will we not serve? And humility is dar in the eyes of God, and we continue to seek Him. And so through prayer, that's where we begin. And we acknowledged at our family conversation last night that we passed on the faith through.
Emily, it looks like we're having a little trouble with your connection. So, you know, we're going to take a little short time out as we continue our discussion on motherhood with Emily Jaminet. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Always love my mama. She's my favorite girl.
888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're talking about motherhood, the day after Mother's Day, with our regular contributor and Catholic mom, Emily Jaminet. Emily, it's good to be with you once again this morning.
It is so good to be here as we, some of us, are crashing into our Monday, the day after motherhood, Mother's Day. And, you know, it's really, Mother's Day is a celebration of the vocation of, you know, for us, Catholic Christian motherhood. So if your day was glorious, thanks be to God. If your day was a little bit challenging, the wonderful gift is every day is a new day, and we get to, you know, receive those graces and step forward with faith.
Absolutely. We want to invite our listeners, if you had a great, wonderful, blessed Mother's Day, if you're still on cloud nine after a fantastic Mother's Day yesterday, you want to share that experience of motherhood on Mother's Day with Catholic author Emily Jaminet. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Before the break, Emily, we're talking a little bit about the many things, and there's so much that one can learn, especially moms, from our Blessed Mother Mary, who we are honoring here in this month of May.
You know what? I think the greatest thing is that Mary always points us back to Jesus, and Jesus always loved to introduce us to His mother. So I think that May, as Mother's Day, is right in the middle of a month dedicated to the Blessed Mother. You know, as a family, it's a great opportunity to recommit to family prayer, especially the rosary, praying the rosary, praying a decade of the rosary, and honoring the Blessed Mother so that, you know, her maternal love can touch our hearts. And that's what the world needs, John.
Emily, obviously, you know what it's like. You've experienced the challenges of trying to pray the rosary as a family with 7 children. Any suggestions on how to either pray the whole rosary or even just a decade of the rosary as a family on a regular basis?
Well, usually it's my first words out of my mouth as we're laying out the expectations for the day. I like to remind people it's Sunday, and it's really important that we pray the rosary together. So I have older children now, and we have a lot of different things pulling us in different directions, but reiterating the importance that every Sunday that we go to Mass, when we can as a family, as we did yesterday, that we eat a meal on Sunday as a family. That's really important to me, despite the busyness of life. And third, that we pray together as a family in our domestic church, in our home. And so sometimes, John, it's not as pretty as it is, you know, on Sunday morning where belts are on and shirts are tucked in and we're at Mass, but it's also where life is lived. So don't just live your faith out, you know, when Sunday morning when you're at church, but really welcome your Catholic faith into your home, beginning with having a holy image of Jesus and a holy image of the Blessed Mother in your home to remind you of our call to live out our faith.
And praying the rosary, if for whatever reason you can't pray the entire rosary, it's better to even pray part of the rosary. If you can pray one decade is better than nothing.
It is. One decade, I like to say baby steps. So sometimes it's the baby step of, you know, saying that decade of the rosary might be you're developing that routine of saying it on the way to school in the morning, on the way to work in the morning. And hopefully it's leading you closer to Christ, and it reminds you to pray more and more as a family. But a lot of times we have to train our children. If you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, oh, we're not where we need to be, you know, let that go and trust in the Lord. You know, bring that peace of Christ into your heart and take those baby steps, asking God to give you the grace you need.
As you know, Father Rocky prays the rosary every night here on Relevant Radio across our nation with the Family Rosary across America. And it never ceases to amaze me, the little children who call in with their requests. They're so cute. Do kids naturally like to be part of the rosary?
You know what? They really do. And I think that you bring up a great point that when we pray together, it's like a window to the heart of our children. We really want to understand what is on their heart. What are they praying for? What's heavy? And a lot of times we'll learn the areas that we need to grow. I remember one time when one of my children said, you know, I pray Mom stops yelling. And I was like, what? I'm yelling? But to her, my voice was too loud. I was, you know, dealing with some teenage boys, and it was hard for her. So that came as a result of a prayer intention. And then I could ask the Lord, please help me, Jesus, to calm my voice, to be a better communicator, and even seek forgiveness. So that's the cycle of family life. That's the gift of family prayer.
Absolutely. What about instilling on the children an attitude of gratitude? How can children learn to be able to say thank you to Mom?
You know, I think that's really important that, you know, the day of Mother's Day is not a focus of materialism, but rather what's going on in their heart. And we have to train our children to be grateful. Gratitude is such an important attitude. One of the things we're doing in our family on the way to school every morning is the children thank God for something, not just saying I'm grateful for, but they have to say, you know, I thank God for the morning sunshine. I thank God for the gift of, you know, my siblings or my school or whatnot, but helping to train them to see the beauty around them. And a lot of times it might start with one thing they're grateful for, and it might be something as silly as that donut they had yesterday morning, but it's an invitation to go deeper and deeper. So don't be discouraged if it's a little shallow at first. Those prayer intentions, those gratitude statements to the Lord continue to go deeper and more abundant.
Obviously, Mother's Day falls on a Sunday. How can we make Sunday special in our families so it's not just another day business as usual?
Well, for many of us, you know, we did have a great day. It was a perfect family Sunday day. You know, someone was thinking about what is for dinner. You know, Mom was honored. She might have brought her morning cup of coffee. You know, someone brought her morning cup of coffee, and the family headed to church. And I think for that is a great standard for the rest of our life. You know, what kind of Sunday do we want to have? A couple of years ago, we did a spiritual reset in our family. And instead of, you know, saying, oh, it's Sunday, we have to go to church, you know, we changed our attitude and said, let's make it the best day of the week. And that's my commitment every single week, to make it the best day, because that's the day the Lord gave us to rest, to be renewed. And the best day for me is beginning that day with prayer, going to Mass, spending my time with my family, if we have a commitment, we all go to that little, you know, six-year-old soccer game, spend some time outside. So a lot of it is our attitude.
Emily, can you talk about gifts? You know, obviously on Mother's Day, there's a lot of gifts that go around to the moms. But at the end of the day, that's not really what fills a mother's soul specifically. Can you give us some perspective?
Yeah, you know, one of the things, John, I've been thinking about is, do we even remember what we got last year for Mother's Day or Father's Day or Christmas? A lot of times we can't even recall one thing. But the peace in our home, the love of Christ filling our home, welcoming that, that's what we want to make our legacy. That's what we want to make forever. So I think that, you know, motherhood is a day of celebration. It's not a day of, you know, rejection if it didn't go to the way you like it. And I think that's something that's hard to understand but really important. We had a full day. It wasn't a day of gift giving. It was yesterday a day of spending time with my family. And one of the things, each child went out of their way in their own little way to say thank you and they love me. And that's the training, that's the important piece, is that they learn to express gratitude. So maybe some years it's a trip to the store with dad, other years it's homemade cards and it's, you know, little projects that mean so much. But it's truly training our children and recognizing that it's not a rejection of our vocation. If there's no paradise here on earth, right? It's we live for heaven.
What about the little things? A beautiful little card, flowers. Obviously, you know, you have these great memories of moms surrounded by flowers on Mother's Day. Can you talk a little bit about the significance of little things? And it doesn't have to be a big fancy present.
It doesn't have to be a big fancy present. One of the things that I received yesterday that touched my heart so much, I actually woke up to this present this morning. My daughter, I had some things that needed to be mended and sewed, and she's in high school. She learned how to do that through her costume work with the theater department, and she mended a few of my items that were on my to-do list. And I was so touched by that effort, that someone, you know, noticed something that needed to be done and did it, so that training piece. Another child, you know, went out of his way to mow the lawn, you know, unexpectedly to say, "It's Mother's Day is coming, Mom. Here is your gift." So gift of self is really, really important. And then putting in paper a few words of how much they love us and appreciate us. So if you didn't get any of those little gifts of self, remind the children, you know, the celebration of being a mom and a father is every day, that they can always go back and do that.
In the news, Glenn shared with us some of the attacks on the pro-life movement yesterday in churches from New York to Los Angeles, a bombing in Madison, Wisconsin. Do you think that these attacks on the culture of life are also attacks on motherhood?
I do believe that, and that's why as a Catholic family, we need to have spiritual conversations. You know, the celebration is great, but reminding our children of the gift, the beautiful gift of life, you know, telling your children that we're a pro-life family, that even articulating those words is really important. You know, telling them that we reject abortion in all circumstances and that we always celebrate life. And we sacrifice for life as well. We support our local pregnancy crisis centers, that we support women in need, that we love women, all mothers. So having those spiritual conversations like we did yesterday from all multi-generation is really important. And then to pray and stand with those who stand for life. So I can't say enough about how the gift of motherhood, this is a spiritual attack. And we need to stand always with Christ in our faith.
Less than a minute to go. Final thought on how mothers can be healed by the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, final thought is, if you're struggling the day after Mother's Day, if you're feeling that, you know, you didn't receive that acknowledgement you want, I really invite you to turn to the heart of Christ, to receive His love, His perfect love, to heal and mend your heart, so that you can share the love of Christ with others. Because without the love of Christ, our homes are empty, they're longing, and they're lacking. And so the work I do at Welcome His Heart is helping parents, helping families to have an encounter with the heart of Christ through the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, welcoming Jesus into your home.
Amen. We have to leave it right there. Thanks so much, Emily. I so much appreciate you being with us the day after Mother's Day. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Well, maybe Mom got some jewelry for Mother's Day. Our story today, their favorite jewelry from Lynn Jost's. During his reign, King Frederick William III of Prussia found himself in trouble. Wars had been costly, and in trying to build the nation, he was seriously short of finances. He couldn't disappoint his people, and to capitulate to the enemy was unthinkable. After careful reflection, he decided to ask the women of Prussia to bring their jewelry of gold and silver to be melted down for their country. For each ornament received, he determined to exchange a decoration of bronze or iron as a symbol of his gratitude. Each decoration would be inscribed, "I gave gold for iron, 1813. The response was overwhelming. Even more importantly, these women prized their gifts from the king more highly than their former jewelry. The reason, of course, is clear. The decorations were proof that they had sacrificed for their king. Indeed, it became unfashionable to wear jewelry, and thus was established the Order of the Iron Cross. Members wore no ornaments except a cross of iron for all to see. When Christians come to their king, they too exchange the flourishes of their former life for a cross. Matthew 16:26. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?
Powerful scripture. Thanks so much, Glenn. I really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Father James Wallace, the pastor of St. Paul the Cross Catholic Church in Park Ridge, Illinois, will join us to explain why the Easter season isn't always pure glory and consolation. Plus, career coach Bruce Lochenour will be with us to recap the 12-step process of landing your dream job and the final step, exiting gracefully. Do stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air next hour on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.